Hebrews chapter 11, as we continue on, okay, in the lives of these patriarchs, we will see that what Paul began his epistle with, God who at sundry times in diverse manners, is unfolding in the lives of these individuals. That each one of these individuals, the patriarchs, the stewards of the covenant, they had interesting experiences, okay, in relation to God's calling upon their lives. And these interesting experiences here, as Paul brought out, he calls them diverse manners. Okay, there's many ways in which God engages and communicates. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings this out also in Corinthians and regarding the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, now, as we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll continue on. Abraham, in order to express his faith, he did not fall into the pit or the trap or the snare of event theology. Whereas upon hearing the report as how Noah constructed an ark to the saving of his house, Abraham did not follow that pattern of event theology. Many saints today, through their sincerity, but not following the gospel and truth, try to find, a relationship with God through event theology. Some by revisiting the Holy Land, following the steps of Jesus along the Sea of Galilee, or having lunch, in the boat that they claimed Peter was in at one time or another, or a similar vessel. Try to find their roots within that event. They try to find an experience with God by reliving a certain event, but our experience with God doesn't come through those kinds of events, or role playing. We don't role play. We don't have to dress up like biblical characters, or try to find some kind of an experience through those events, as concerning I like to be a preacher like Jonah. So you go out, you roll a boat out in the middle of the lake and throw yourself over and drown. Try to drown yourself. Or get swallowed up by a fish or a great white. Now that's not, you're not going to wake up on the beaches of Nineveh. It's the same thing about the second eighth week. The second eighth week is not getting back to the day of Pentecost. We don't have to go back up into the upper room to experience to create an experience, and this is what we see in a false religious system. They try to recreate a certain event in their conventions by trying to sing real loud, or by gathering together to try to initiate something unique. Well, God isn't in that, and God communicated this to Elijah. When Elijah was standing in a cave, God communicated to Elijah that he wasn't in the fire and he wasn't in the wind, but he was that still small voice. All right, so as we go on here in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read some unique events here in these individuals' lives. So let's pick up where we left off there last week, in Hebrews chapter 11, around verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. So highlight the word strength there. And as we go through each verse, you might want to highlight the word faith. So as we see the word faith here, we also see a performance, or a form of activity. And this is what we do in our priesthood. There is a performance that's initiated. We receive the knowledge of God and we reciprocate in kind. Now each one of these individuals did the same thing. They reciprocated in kind. God revealed something to them, and they acted according to that revelation. We do the same thing in our priesthood. So this shows that our priesthood is necessary for us to engage God with, for the purpose of having a fellowship with Him. A fellowship does not exist in word only, but in word and deed. So here we see Sarah, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Now highlight the word strength there, and strength has to do with the assisted ability of grace. Grace assist us for obedience to God and keeping his commandments. Now, the word commandment has to do with an ordered activity. And this is what Jesus told his apostles. If you love me, keep my commandments. Follow this ordered activity. You must express your faith according to these conditions. If you try to express faith in God apart from or outside of these conditions, it will not be accepted for you. Okay, and now, God taught the children of Israel the same thing. Okay, that once they came into the land, they were not to offer sacrifices according to their inclinations or their passions. They're supposed to offer sacrifices in the chosen place. Okay, that they were not to offer sacrifices upon every hill or every pleasant place. Okay, that which appealed to them. Now, in the days of the patriarchs, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they offered sacrifices at the appointed places, as Abraham. Okay, when Abraham came into land, the first thing he did was initiate a point of contact to his priesthood. He built an altar by the direction of the Lord. He built an altar there between Ai and Bethel. So he constructed an altar, and then when he came out of Egypt, he also constructed an altar. And as I remember correctly, that there was about three altars that Abraham constructed. Okay, for points of contact. Okay, now, through these altars, also Isaac worshiped God and Jacob worshiped God. Okay, through these altars. But now when Moses brought them in, they were restricted. Okay, you're not to offer your sacrifices, okay, on the traditions of man, but according to the tradition of God. Okay, so Moses communicated to the children of Israel that in this place, that God has selected a place that you're to bring your sacrifices to, that they will no longer be accepted on any altar. Now, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, was in keeping of tradition of her fathers, but not in the tradition of Moses. And she communicated to Jesus that she says, our traditions go further back than Moses. And many Christians today lay claim to the same thing. Okay, the traditions which we are following go back to Calvin, or go back to some of the first popes, okay, or go back to Luther. But God today is saying, your traditions, they are not sanctified by me. My traditions has always been in the calling of the stewardship, okay, not in those things of these men, okay, of those men. Okay, but of that which God is selecting at this time. And Jesus was bringing the attention of the woman at the well, to himself. And where he says, not in all places they shall worship me. Or they shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay, that from this point on, your sacrifices of the animals will no longer be accepted. And what you're worshiping at this present time, which he was telling the woman, you don't even understand what you're doing. All you're doing is you're in rhythm with a tradition, but you're not in rhythm with the Spirit. If you're in rhythm with the Spirit, then you would see the face of God in my knowledge. Now, upon hearing these words and upon Jesus' discourse with her, she went back to the city from the well and to the house of the elders and explained to them, is not this the Christ? That he has told me all things that ever I did. When the Christ comes, won't he do this? As concerning restoring our faith, giving direction to us. And they all went out there and they heard Jesus and they wanted him to stay there. They beheld the face of God in the knowledge which Jesus was speaking. And he, of course, was the steward of the first eighth week. Now we can see, okay, that when Moses came, being that of the fourth week, okay, that those which wanted to maintain the traditions of their fathers began to fight against Moses. And of course, in fighting against Moses, they were fighting against the plan of God. When you fight against the stewardship, you're resisting the grace of God. Okay, the same thing which the apostles brought out in the first century and regarding the faith of the people, that they cannot maintain these traditions of circumcision or baptisms or tithing as those traditions of that first covenant, because God was changing these traditions. And we can see that The apostles were charged, okay, as being a cult or a sect because they weren't embracing or maintaining the traditions of Moses. We can see as we read on here, okay, analyze these individuals, that God always created a breach and then introduced a bridge. Okay, God created a breach and then introduced a bridge through each week. Okay, now let's go back to chapter 11, verse 11 here. Now through faith also Sarah herself received strength. So we said highlight the word strength there. Okay, and this is the assisted ability of grace. The grace of God strengthens us. It assists us. And this grace which was given bridged the breach. Okay, conceived a seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful that had promised. Now, Sarah heard the conversation of the angels that were visiting Abraham there outside the tent. She acted on this knowledge which she heard. Okay, and that's what we do. Okay, we reciprocate the knowledge. But the promise here was joined to the covenant, not separate from it. Satan made a promise to Adam apart from the covenant. And many preachers today are making promises to the people of God apart from covenant. And when preachers preach promise apart from the covenant, those which embrace that knowledge fall into despair. Because these preachers are preaching, they're giving the history of God, but not the covenant of God. In order to enter into the promise, you have to have covenant. Well, let's read on here. Verse 12. And of course, because she embraced the knowledge with the stewardship, and had the priesthood. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and the sand which is upon the seashore innumerable. Okay, let's read this here, verse 12 again. Okay, that is, therefore sprang there even of one. Now what sprang? That means something arose. By the Spirit, there arose another image. Another image was born by the Spirit. The breach that God created in Sarah's life was now bridged by the knowledge of God. Now, the bridge came in regarding this promise. Okay, so therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Now, the word him there has to do with the stewardship. There was a certain restriction which God set there. But now God was bridging the stewardship because he judged him faithful that had promised. As we read this, we can see that faith and patience is important. You notice that she did not project the outcome. She did not project the outcome, but she awaited the promise, okay, for her joy to be full. And that's the same thing that we do. Okay, we do not project the outcome. So therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Yet God set a breach here. And now what's interesting as we read on is that we're gonna see the name of Jesus Christ manifest itself here. So therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is upon the seashore innumerable. So in verse 12, highlight the word stars, and then highlight the word sand. Okay, highlight the word stars, highlight the word sand there in verse 12. Now, these are the stars of fire, as also the sand of water. The stars of fire, the sand of water. Okay, the stars also represent that which is like an unrestricted power. But the sand is within a restricted power. We see here the name of Jesus in the word sand and the word Christ in the word stars. That God came into the form of flesh to bring us into the inheritance of his light. We see two elements here, fire and water, which also represents Christ Jesus. Now we shall be as the stars, unrestricted in brightness. And yet we are also as the sand, small and restricted. Okay, because of the presence of death. Now, in our flesh, we are as a sand, but in the spirit, we are as the stars. God is going to take us from smallness to greatness, and from littleness to that which is beyond that of the brightness of the stars. This is the promise that he's making, but God is first establishing this, okay, through a sign and a token. Now, God gives us a sign in the stars, and he gives us a token in the sand. And that's what makes us sons of God. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ because we carry this promise, okay, of the star and of the sand, of the spirit and of the spirit and the flesh and the fire and of water. Now, God made a breach in this dimension, and a dimension of himself he made a breach because God is light. But then God created darkness. Darkness did not exist until God created it. But God created a breach within himself, and he also created a bridge. And that means he had a resolution for this. But the resolution that he had for this, okay, was already predetermined in his own mind. The word called Christ. This is what John begins his letter with. Okay, in the Gospel of John, John began his letter, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The plan of God originated within his own self, that God would project himself outside of himself and take a different form and different title. Now the Lord is God, and the God and the Lord is one. There's only one God. But God is teaching us regarding this projection of himself, that God can be in numerous places at the same time and in different forms at the same time. That even though he was in heaven, he's also on earth at the same time. He never departed from himself. He just took a different form. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Or, as Paul said, God was manifested in the flesh. Okay, so the plan of God began in himself, and the origin of it was in his bosom. And then he initiated it, coming into a dimension of himself called the dimension of the waters. Now, God created water from light and darkness. In other words, God created life and death at the same time. And, of course, this is what God proclaimed of himself when he spoke to Moses. "I create good and I create evil." Okay, "I create life, I create death." God made God testified of himself that I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, God came into created a dimension of in himself. Now, this is a prototype of the throne. Okay, and this is also a prototype, okay, of the things that we're going to experience when we enter into the third covenant. God has always set a prototype. That means he's always set a path, a rail, a track, okay, if you will, okay, to the destination. Okay, and that's why he says, "For he is before all things." In other words, when he says he is before all things, is that everything that's in existence is a prototype, okay, of himself. Everything that is in existence is a prototype of himself. "Therefore sprang there even of one," now back to verse 12 here, "and him as good as dead." Okay, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude and the sand which is upon the seashore innumerable. Now, we get a glimpse of this because God has given us knowledge concerning our future in the book of Revelation. We see that God says, "I'm going to make a new heavens and new earth." So everything in this dimension, which is the dimension of the waters, okay, will be resolved and dissolved. Now, this is what Peter said. Peter said the same thing. "The heavens and the earth which are now, okay, which were destroyed by water in Noah's time, shall now be destroyed by fire." And, of course, this is at the conclusion of the age. We see again, water, fire, star, sand, Christ, Jesus. All right, we also see light, darkness, life, and death. That God has created a rhythm, a breach in a bridge. Okay, now the reason why I'm saying these things is because this follows, okay, or this sets a pattern for the rhythm of our faith. We go through the cycles of growth through the same rhythm: breach, bridge, life, death. Okay, we die to ourselves to gain the life of Christ. We are crucified with Christ. This is what Paul says. Okay, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Well, what is being crucified? Okay, what is being crucified is the aspiration. We are restricting the aspiration with our faith. And we are dissolving our principle by the power of God, which is truth. Okay, and that power. Okay, so God is continually establishing a witness of himself as a sign and a token. Fire and water. Christ Jesus. Okay, we overcome because of him. Jesus is the bridge for the breach. Christ created a breach within us. Okay, God put a breach within this dimension for the purpose of testing of choices. Everything exists by the presence of God, but we live by faith. That means we live by his knowledge. Everything is sustained by the presence of God. The presence of his oath sustains all things, because everything was created by him and for him. and for his pleasure they are and were created. We see this also in the book of Revelation. The angels themselves were created, okay, for the purpose of following through God's interests and his plan. But all those that sever themselves from the knowledge of God, they join themselves to the works of death. Okay, and that's why they're cast in the lake of fire, where death and hell will be cast into. God created death. God created hell. God created a lake of fire. All right, well, let's go back here to verse 12. Therefore, spring there even one of him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and the sand which is upon the seashore, innumerable. So we're seeing a rhythm emerge here. Ever since the very beginning, God created a particular rhythm. Now, we're walking in rhythm with him by faith in Jesus Christ. That we will endure and go through the rhythm and cycles of our growth. That we will overcome. What are we overcoming? We're overcoming ourselves. We're overcoming Satan. We're overcoming the world. Ourselves particularly, because of the rhythm which we are accustomed to before we came in covenant with God. What we were in rhythm with was the rhythm of death. We are in rhythm with those things, okay, which was of the beastly nature. That which is a beastly nature is only in rhythm with itself, which is the signature of man. The signature of man is in rhythm with himself. Okay? It's called the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world, okay, works in rhythm with itself, independently of God. Is not subject to God, as Paul said, which means that which is in rhythm with nature is hostile against the knowledge of God. The animal kingdom is deaf concerning the knowledge of God, and so all those that are in rhythm with their instinct are deaf to the knowledge of God. But it takes the Spirit of God to awaken that heritage that's sealed within a conscience. And by awakening it, they arise from the dead. The breach which was put upon them because of death, okay, is now bridged by the presence and grace of God, so that they can come out of the slumber and trance of death and begin to build a house of God. They can come out of the coma, okay, the coma of false knowledge, and awaken to begin to build the house of God. And we can see that God put a sign in Sarah. Sarah was in rhythm with her own nature of a barren womb. Okay? And being in rhythm of nature of the barren womb, it took the bridge of the Spirit to initiate a bridge, as also with the Virgin Mary. Now, the Virgin Mary is symbolic of this sign and token. She's symbolic of that. And so is also the Holy City, our mother. The Holy City, New Jerusalem, is our mother. She, because her existence was taken out from the sight of God, as Eve was removed or created from the sight of Adam. That God created a bridge. A breach first, and then a bridge. Okay, he created a breach by putting Adam into a trance, and then he took from his side a rib, creating the woman. Okay, and then introduced her back to Adam to bridge the breach. Okay, to increase his likeness. The Holy City will proceed out of the side of our Father. Okay, and come into this dimension for the purpose of increase, and that's why we're called sons and daughters of God. Okay, we are the offspring of God. And as we read on here, okay, in chapter 12, when we get to this point, he says, but you are come unto Mount Zion. Now, see that in chapter 12, verse 22. Okay, we are being returned to our origin. We are being now joined for increase. That's a marriage. There is a marriage is a joining for increase to build a house. We are being joined to God through Jesus Christ to build his house. Okay, now we see that in Hebrews 12:22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, a point of contact for increase. We can see this played out for the purpose of propagation today, that the purpose of propagation or the purpose of contact is for increase. God put distinction, okay, for uniqueness or distinction for the purpose of this increase. We can see this played out again throughout the history of God. Uniqueness. And distinction. Eve did not look like Adam in his form, okay, but she had but there were similarities, but uniqueness. There was distinction, okay, which God put. That's the same thing with the Holy City. Okay, the Holy City doesn't look anything like God, okay, and that its construction, okay, was of the the construction of the holy city came from the existence of this dimension. Okay? The construction of came from the existence of this dimension, yet God himself will envelop her, okay, and dwell within her. Okay, there is a form of contact for increase. So God created a breach, and he's going to create a bridge. And there shall be no more sea. We see in the book of Revelation. Now we see here in verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, okay, our destiny, or at the bosom of our Father, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into innumerable company of angels, the innumerable company of angels for the purpose of multiplying his grace. Now, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and Jesus mediator of the new covenant. You see how God bridged this breach, and that God used Sarah to preach to us, okay, the breach and the bridge. The breach existed, okay, within a natural rhythm, but the bridge exists within a spiritual rhythm. Okay, as the children of Israel came out of Egypt into the wilderness, God put a breach upon them and bringing them into a desolate place. No water, no food, no trees. But God provided all the things that they needed. Okay, for the he provided sustenance for them, water, food, and material to build a tabernacle and a place of worship. Okay, God called them to a priesthood and also provided all the necessary tools and also all the necessary articles that they would need to construct these things which God assigned to them. So Sarah had a breach, that God put a breach upon her, okay, but because of her faith, God also put a bridge within her, and with this, he was preaching to us Christ, okay, that he would come into this dimension through a virgin, all right? So make sure you highlight, now back in chapter 11, verse 12, make sure you highlight the word stars and sand. Okay, brightness and dimness, smallness and greatness. So Jesus, or God, came to the form of the flesh as a sand, so that by coming from a star to a sand, it's like the sun. The sun coming into our dimension and entering into a grain of sand. Now that's what God did. See, God came into Christ. Okay, God came into Jesus. God came into a virgin womb. Okay, that the Spirit of the Lord, this is what the angel said, and the angel of the Lord announced to the Virgin Mary the grain of sand. The angel announced to the grain of sand, okay, that the power of the highest will overshadow you. The light of the sun will come into this dimension, okay, and enter into your womb. Okay, and he will take on the form of a grain of sand, which the other grains of sand will not be able to distinguish him from themselves. But it is God himself, Emmanuel, God with you. Now, the reverse is true. Now that God dwells within you, okay, he dwells in a grain of sand, he's going to take us from smallness to greatness. Now, he's going to give us a body, as the Apostle Paul preached in Corinthians. Okay, as concerning, he will assign us a new form, okay, according to the fruit that you bear. According to the fruit that you bear, he will assign you a form. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, and that's why he says, "But beloved, we don't know that what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Okay, that we will also take on his likeness of brightness, as he took on the likeness of our dimness. Okay, coming in the form of vile flesh. Okay, for the purpose of removing the power of sin in the flesh. Okay, he had to be smitten and crushed and laid open." You know, like breaking open a walnut to eat the meat of the walnut. Okay, Jesus says, unless you crush me and eat of me, then you're not going to have life in yourself. So I will be crushed. I'll be split open when I go to the cross. Okay, and once I'm split open, that power which is in me will be released, which will not be able to be contained. Okay, so Satan smiting Jesus was merely doing nothing more than breaking open a walnut. All the smiting that he went through, the smiting of his back, like Mel Gibson brings out on the Passion of Christ. Each smiting upon that flesh, okay, was for the purpose of releasing its power. Now, if Satan knew that upon the smiting of the flesh that he was actually ruining his own kingdom, he would never have done that, see? If the princes of this world knew, okay, that through the smiting of this flesh that a new power would be released, okay, they would immediately ceased, okay, of what they were doing. But God hid it from them. Even though Jesus said that destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. And when Jesus, after his conversation with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, continued to preach as he went south, and regarding the time of his death, that I will be delivered in the hands of sinful men, and they're going to spit upon me, they're going to whip me, they're going to abuse me, they're going to mock me, but I'm going to rise again the third day. Okay? But Satan couldn't make the correlation of why this was necessary. Okay, or he's going to rise from the dead, not realizing that Jesus was establishing a record for our prototype. Okay, that through death we also experience life, that we also enter into the kingdom through the same process of the breach and the bridge. Satan will make a breach on me, Jesus is saying. Okay, and the religious leaders will reject me, because they, being under Satan's persuasion and perception, okay, will not behold the face of God within me. And it's the same thing today. Okay, religious leaders today only see tradition. They don't see the face of Christ. They only see tradition. But if they beheld the face of the Lord, okay, they will embrace the stewardship, okay, in the direction which God is taking the church at this present time. Okay, so God created a breach. God provided a bridge. He entered into the dimension of himself, as he's also teaching us. Okay, and entering the dimension or a mansion or a throne, okay, whereas we will bear rule, and all things will be in equity with our oath, as we are in equity with God by his oath. See, we are in equity of God because of the oath of Christ, the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God because we're living by his knowledge. Okay, but everything is sustained by the presence of God, but we live by his oath, the Word of God. And because we live by his word, okay, by this knowledge we live by, we have a relationship with him. We see that Sarah lived by the word of God, and that because she lived by the word of God, having faith within her heart, okay, God bridged the breach. And from this, a new seed, from this seed, okay, was carried forth a tradition of faith through Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we'll be reading about them. Cool. And then he says here, by the sand of the seashore, innumerable. Now, what's interesting about the sand which is upon the seashore being innumerable, okay, we also see that a symbolic beast will arise. Okay, in the Apostle John, we see in the book of Revelation, okay, that also another power will emerge in this dimension. Okay, another power will emerge from this dimension that's unlike any other power of any other emperor or ruler of this world. Every ruler of this world up to this point of time had a symbolism of a beast, of an animal. But that which rises in the seventh week will be far different and superior than that which ruled this world up to this point of time. He'd be greater than Genghis Khan. Okay, he'd be greater in his powers, okay, than any Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, or Julius Caesar. And he'd be greater in power than any existing nation today, the beast of the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Okay, so when he says right here, as a sand which is upon a seashore innumerable, okay, we can see two things here. Okay, in regarding, okay, in our state, in the state of our flesh right now, okay, we accept the testimony of God. But even in this dimension, God has assigned a counter, and a counterfeit called the Antichrist. Okay, one that's going to speak, look, and act just like Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, but he will not have the testimony or record of God within him. He's going to carry his own testimony. Okay, and he's going to project his image in the sun. Okay, so we see the star and the sand, okay, and the false record. And the whole world will be tethered to his oath. It's either you're going to be tethered to the oath of the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ, or you can be tethered to the oath of the beast and the shadow of death. Either you stand in the shadow of God, or under his wings, or you stand in the shadow of Satan and under his wings, which is death, the wings of death. Okay, and this is the secret place. Now, the secret place of the Most High, okay, is that which is invisible. Psalms 91 brings that out. He that dwells in a secret place of the Most High. shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, the secret place is that which is not seen with the carnal eye, but that which those which are of faith behold the face of Christ. That's the secret place. Your priesthood is a secret place. And by doing that, you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Being free from Satan's shadow, you're under the shadow of the true tree. We stand in the shadow of the tree of life. Okay, but the sinners continually gravitate around the vine of Satan, the false tree, the false vine. Jesus said he's the true vine. That means Satan is the false vine. The grapes of Satan cause a drunkenness, but the grapes of God is in communion of covenant. All right, let's go on here. Verse 13. Now, these all died in faith. Okay, that means the flesh was restricted, okay, but not the spirit. The flesh was restricted, but not the spirit. Okay, God only put a temporary sign and token within these vessels, because these are the portions. God put a temporary sign and token within these vessels because they were temporary, okay, until Christ would come to fulfill all things. Okay, so we go on here. Now, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. And again, because that was because of the presence of death and because of the plan. This was God's plan at that time. Okay, God's plan at this at that time, okay, had to do with the okay, that was those these tokens were raised up, okay, and were in rhythm with him until Christ would come. Okay, that would show the fullness of these things. All right, and now during the millennium, okay, we also will be bridges within the breach of this dimension. When we come back into this dimension, and when we're descending into this dimension, you're going to see something that's going to be very strange. The earth itself will be scarred, rent, ripped open, and bleeding. Right? The earth itself will be as the face that Jesus had after he was beaten and buffeted. That's what it's going to look like. And as the earth took on the form of Jesus' face during his crucifixion, when we come back in this dimension, it will be healed and represent Jesus' resurrection. It'll be full of light and life. And that's what it's going to look like when we come back, because the sun itself is going to be as darkness, and the moon is going to withdraw her light, is be as black as sackcloth, and this whole dimension is going to be like flooded and scarred. Okay, it's going to be red, and it's going to be just it's going to be unrecognizable. When we come back to establish the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, you're not going to recognize the earth when we come back in this dimension. When we leave, okay, when we leave this dimension, it's just going to be prior to the wrath of God. Okay, but when we come back, there's not going to be any place that's going to be recognizable. Okay, if you go back to your hometown, you won't recognize it. Okay, because of the destruction. Okay, the earthquake that takes place at the end of the seventh week is going to be enormously devastating. Every established city and honor of man will be completely leveled. That's pretty serious. And of course, at that time, that's when the continents begin to come back together. So God created a breach of the continents, and he's going to bridge the continents. So everything will be one landmass again, okay, as Jesus' face was healed. Okay, remember, every time you cut yourself, you create a breach within your flesh. But because you endure the pain in a process of time, okay, that which was wounded becomes healed. The earth would be healed by the word of the Lord, and the knowledge of the Lord be flowing forth with this earth, okay, as the waters cover the sea, as it was prophesied, okay, in the book of Levi, Isaiah and Habakkuk, okay, as they also prophesied of these things. Okay, so we can see again the rhythm of God, a breach in the bridge. Now, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but will enter into the fullness of those things at the baptism of light. Okay, and we will enter into the partial of those things during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. During the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the holy ones, okay, which we are, we will have granted powers to us as the watchers did. God will grant us powers of ascension, Okay, God grant us powers that we will turn from flesh to flame and flame to flesh, just like the watchers did. And just like Jesus did after his resurrection. Okay, he was able to also take on different forms. We will do the same thing. We can do the same thing. Okay, not subject to time. We're able to ascend and descend. Okay, we will have incredible powers granted to us. Greater powers, okay, than Hollywood can create. If you watch that movie called Heroes, okay, the powers that God grants to us, okay, will not be accompanied with aspiration, okay, nor with death, but it'll be accompanied with equity and with life, okay, because we will go about just like Jesus did, okay, and bring healing to the earth, and the earth itself again will be replenished, okay, as it was replenished by the sons of Noah, it also will be replenished by the holy ones. By the angels, okay, and by those that survive, not having taken the mark of the beast and went through the seventh week. All right, well, let's go back here. So these, I brought this out for the purpose of reading the word promises here. Okay, now these all the end of faith, not having received the promises, but will enter into them, okay, at another time frame. God made a promise to the watchers, okay, and providing for them wives of another dimension. Okay, so that they also, bearing children, okay, those children also can have faith in covenant and enter into the third covenant. Okay, they wanted that promise, okay, for their children, okay, but acted prematurely and transgressed against God, okay, during the first day or during their first 1,000 years, okay, incurring the wrath of God and bringing upon the world the flood. But during the seventh day, that which God promised the watchers will be granted to them. So they're also going to enter into a promise. They had to wait the time of fulfillment just like we do. Okay, we have to wait to the time of fulfillment. Okay, you will know when you enter into the real millennium, the millennial reign of Christ, because when in the millennial reign of Christ, okay, there's not going to be the presence of death and conflict and war in the world as it is today. So let's go back here to verse 13. Now, these all died in faith. The flesh, because restricted by the presence of death, okay, did not enter into promise at that time, but of course, by the promise of the Spirit, they will. But having seen them afar off, now highlight the word seen. Okay, this is prophetic sight. A prophetic sight. We have prophetic sight because of the Bible. Okay, we know what is the future because we can read about it. In the book of Revelation, we can see what our future is. And also the Lord reveals things, okay, in regarding our own personal life in dreams and visions. Okay, that's prophetic eyes. Okay, when Jesus was on his earth, he spoke of many things. Okay, he spoke of the present, okay, regarding his ministry. He also spoke of the future. And his apostles, okay, when Jesus was speaking these things, he would change channels so rapidly. The apostles, at one point or another, weren't really sure what he was talking about. And that's what he says, now, Lord, you speak plainly, no more in parables. Because when Jesus was teaching them, he was teaching them in regarding his present state, okay, that which was going to happen within a short time because of his flesh, okay, and he also spoke of many things of the future. And when he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, okay, he was speaking of time of yet 3,000 years in the future. And then we are speaking about, and regarding going to the cross, he's speaking about the first century. Okay, and he also spoke about the time of darkness, the destruction of Jerusalem, okay, the time of the sixth week. Okay, he spoke about many things, including the things of the past. Okay, regarding Noah, Lot, Jonah, okay, Abraham, he spoke about the past. Okay, and so the apostles, because Jesus would jump around, okay, in that state, they weren't really sure. Okay, and regarding, now, are you going to restore Israel at this time? Remember, I know, Lord, you talked about these things. Now, for 40 days after his resurrection, he spoke of these things of the future, and that's why the apostles were asking him, is this the time now, Lord? Okay, where you said that we're going to receive 100-fold. Is this a time? And then Jesus says, well, that time has already been sealed in the bosom of my Father. Okay. This is what Jesus said to him. The sign is sealed in the bosom of my Father. But what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait there for the promise of my Father, the promise of the Spirit. And I'm going to show you what to do after that. and the birth of the church, okay, at that time. So we can see that Jesus was giving them consolation and hope and regarding the future. See that your life down here is not going to be just lived down here and then eradicated. Okay, I have something planned for you in the future. In my Father's bosom, I have something planned for you. I'm down here to fulfill these things. I'm down here to bring you into my Father. Okay, I sent you into this world, and I'm going to bring you back to myself. Okay, I sent you in this world for the purpose of strengthening the will, okay, and teaching you and testing you. Okay, whether you be worthy of this great reward and inheritance, that we be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay. The plan of God is being unfolded through these choices. We have power of choice, but we do not have power of destiny. Okay. God has power of that. That's what Jesus said. Okay. Fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear him, I say. That's what Jesus is telling them. Don't fear man, which can just destroy your flesh, but fear God, which can destroy both body and soul, okay, in hell. Okay, so you have power of choice, but you don't have power of destiny. Okay, and because of the imagination of man, okay, Satan keeps man tethered to the imagination so that he feels, because he has the power of choice, that he also can bring a reality of his destiny. And that's part of Satan's deception, which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan made a promise to Adam just like God did. That shows the similarities. God spoke to Adam, Satan spoke to Adam. God made a promise to Adam, Satan made a promise to Adam. God gave a covenant to Adam, and Satan only gave Adam a confirmation of his aspiration. That was it. Okay, nothing of any substance, okay, comes forth of that imagination. Not at this time. Okay, but of the third covenant, okay, it works for you. Right now, it works against you, but then it's going to work for you. So now these all died in faith, not having seen the promises, but having seen them afar off, okay, the prophetic insight. Okay, we embrace that which is the Spirit, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed it as strangers and pilgrims on this earth, or in the flesh in this dimension, because we're really citizens of heaven. Okay, being citizens of heaven, okay, we don't focus upon our earthly existence. Okay, as those that have no hope. Sinners, because they're short-sighted and because they're working with your imagination, okay, have no hope beyond this veil. We do. God has already revealed that to us, that we have hope beyond the veil because Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, and we have numerous proofs and tokens, okay, of this reality. Okay, that God did not abandon us to the imagination, okay, and to the and to the system of the world. Okay, that God did not abandon us to this dimension, but made promise and is continually initiating these tokens and these powers in order to sustain us for the hope to come. So highlight the word persuade, embraced, and confessed. See that in verse 13? Okay, persuaded, embraced, and confessed. The revelation which God gave to them was the pivotal point of all decisions and direction for the life. That's the wisdom from above, see? The wisdom from above is what is directing our affairs of life. The decisions that we make, okay, is based upon our tether. If we're tethered to earthly things, okay, then we fear tomorrow. Okay, and we want to project the outcome in order to resolve what we fear. Okay, but if we're tethered to heavenly things, then we have peace with God and we take no thought for tomorrow. Okay, taking no thought for tomorrow, okay, he's not talking about grocery shopping, okay, but he's talking about us concerning projection, the aspiration. Okay, we go shopping for groceries, okay, for the purpose of, you know, putting something in the refrigerator so for convenience. Okay, he's not talking about grocery shopping. He's not talking about going to the store and buying some clothes. What he's talking about, though, has to do with the fear of the future and the aspiration, how you fit into your future and leaving a memorial of your existence. Okay, that's what the Watchers did. The Fallen Watchers did that. They left a memorial of their existence through the things which they made. They created cities and monuments. They amassed gold and silver. They amassed all the elements that were of any value of this dimension, okay, to establish a memorial of their presence. And the sinners do the same thing today. Okay, they establish a memorial of their presence because they know there is no future concerning their flesh. They have no fear of God. They have no future. Okay? But we, okay, are not establishing an earthly memorial because our memorial is based in the bosom of our Father, because we carry the testimony of God in our heart. Okay? We carry a living memorial. And because we carry a living memorial, we don't have to build something of that of stone, okay, to represent us. If you build that which is of stone is of death, okay, but the spirits give life. So highlight the word there in verse 13, the words persuade, embraced, and confessed. Okay, their lifestyle, their communication was based not of the fear of man, but of the fear of God. Okay, it was based upon the future. Okay, in the bosom of our Father, and not based upon the presence of death. See, our decisions are not based on the presence of death. Our decisions are based on the presence of life. All right? So we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth because we're passing through this dimension of testing. Okay, we're just visiting this planet. Okay, we're just visiting here. So that's why it says we're strangers and pilgrims. We are merely a migrating species. We are migrating. Okay, and God preaches this migration to us, okay, through the animal kingdom. Okay, you notice the birds migrate. Okay, every fall the geese, okay, that here in Michigan, okay, fly south. Okay, it's marking a time change. Okay, and they migrate south, and then when spring comes, okay, they migrate north. Okay, and it's the same thing. We can see this in many different kind of species, that the salmon. Okay, turtles, okay, willibeasts, okay, God is preaching to us, okay, and regarding these natural things, okay, but he's also preaching to us concerning Jesus Christ. We are also a migrating species. Our presence in this world, okay, is only a short duration until the time changes. When spring comes, we arise from the dead. Okay, we enter into our promise. Okay, in the fall, everything loses its power of reproduction. Okay, but in the spring, it regains its powers. And we see life springing up again. It's the same thing with us. Okay, so we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth because we carry a different scent. Okay, we don't carry the scent of the flesh, we carry the scent of the spirit. Okay, we don't carry the perspective of the flesh and death, we carry the perspective of the spirit and life. Okay, and we're just passing through because we're fellow citizens of heaven. Okay, as we read earlier in chapter 12, whereas we are coming to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to a innumerable company of angels, general assembly, church of the firstborn, written in heaven, and then he goes on and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now back in chapter 11. All right, so we're strangers and pilgrims. So we see a rhythm right here of how God preaches the gospel to us through these things. These are like parables. Okay, we see in the world many parables. Okay, we see the presence of God in all things he created. The God code is in everything. Okay, for the purpose of its existence, its propagation, its design, okay, what it stands for, and what it preaches to us. Now look at verse 14. Okay, this is our perspective as you get your sacrifices ready. Now, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Okay, we're looking for a country, but not in this age, not in this dimension, not in this world. Okay, not in the perspective of the world. See, the time that we're living in right now is going through a lot of changes because everything is getting ready for the seventh week. This is what we're seeing right now. Okay, we're seeing the travail of this earth, the travail, social travail. Okay, is the preparatory stages for the breaking of the water. Okay, the travail. As a woman travails, the water breaks, the baby's born. Okay, and the beast is going to break the surface of the water. Okay, as the earth travails, the social travailing. Okay, as society continues to travail because of the inequities and because of their sin. Okay, as it continues to travail, a beast is going to be born, but it's not going to be the Messiah. Okay, they think the wicked thing is going to be the Messiah. Because the beast of The beast of Revelation chapter 13 is going to promise resolve and peace. He's going to give, he's going to bring about the conflicts which everybody's looking for. He's going to resolve national conflicts, religious conflicts, social conflicts, economic conflicts. The first beast, second beast, and the false and the dragon. Okay, we can see that this trio is going to make promises. Okay, and they're going to have also divine. Okay, God is going to grant authorize powers to them. Okay, so that the whole world will gravitate to their oath. Okay, and everything will be in rhythm with death. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.